We're in a series of lessons called Devoted. Come on, how many of y'all are enjoying this series? Good. I'm trying to not preach, keep going, but I just can't not keep going. So we're going to keep going until, you know, the thing in church now, if you've been around, is pastors preach series, which we do. And then they'll do a 3-week series or a 4-week series, take a break, and they'll have their assistant or somebody else come and preach 2 or 3 weeks. And so I just like to preach, so I just keep preaching. I don't know. I just kind of figure I don't know how many more years, 30 more years. And so I might just get all the preach out until I go to heaven. So I'm preaching to Kimberly all the time at the house. You know, and she says, save it for Sunday. And so, you know, or she says, I've heard it before. No, she doesn't. She's a good woman. We've been saying this the last couple weeks that from the Gospel of Luke, the disciples actually came to Jesus evidently because they heard him and saw him. And they said this, teach us to pray. And one of the things we've been saying is that I think that's a good prayer and a good thing for you to be saying regularly to him is teach me to pray. There's a way to pray that's effective and it's gonna cause heaven to move and earth to move. And so I see it in the Bible, but I might not be praying the way I need to pray. So a prayer that you should pray regularly is teach me to pray. Matthew records it a little bit different in the Amplified Bible about what we talked about and started last week. About these three words, asking and seeking and knocking. And the Amplified Bible brings this out in a little bit more interesting fashion. Check on the screen in Matthew 7. Jesus said this here, again, Amplified, gives a little bit more words. Keep on asking and it'll be given you. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be opened to you. Verse 8. For everyone, come on, yell everyone. Everyone. Who keeps on asking receives, check that out. Keeps on asking, receives. So what you ask for, Jesus intends for you to receive. And he who keeps on seeking finds. There's going to be finding if you seek. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. These three individual activities, asking, seeking, and knocking, talk about the believer's trust to look to God with increasing levels of intensity. You ask for something. I ask stuff all the time. You go to a restaurant. Let's make it real carnal here. You go to a restaurant and you ask for the server to come. And the server comes and takes your order. And then all of a sudden, the server doesn't show up with your food for 30 minutes. What do? I'm going to the kitchen to seek. And all of a sudden, I'm not getting any help. And so I'm knocking and I'm throwing some doors in. I'm trying to find an answer. So there's an increasing level of intensity that we have when we think about asking, seeking, and knocking. Last week we talked about the first part here, asking. So look on the screen. Ask means to make a request. It means to make a request. It means to petition. It means to call, it means to crave, it means to require, it means that you desire something. So this is what asking involves. It's the request, and you're forming something. You're forming a prayer to God, and you're petitioning him, and it's a crave, it's a need, it's a requirement that you have in your life. And so we said this is that when we ask, we're shaping and fashioning our prayers, our petitions, and our desires to what he's already revealed in the word, what already he said he would do for you. We're seeing, I'm not having that in my life. I don't have peace in my life. I don't have some joy in my life. I've got some things missing in the relationship between me and my husband or something at work, and there's crazy stuff going on. I don't have what you say I should have, so I'm coming based on your word asking for this. Do you get that? Do you get that? So we said this last week that praying is saying. There is, but there's not. So hear me as I'm going to go overboard here. So I'm going to swing the ship way over here. There's no such thing as silent prayer. There is, but there's not. Really, when you're praying in the scripture, you're saying. You've got to ask. You've got to move your mouth. It's coming from your heart that, God, I see this, I want this, I need this, I request this, I crave this, I desire this, I require this from you, because I see this is what your loving hand and your generosity as a good father want to give me and want to give my family, want to give the situation that I'm in. So I'm forming a prayer and I'm believing you're going to hear me, and I'm going to receive by faith in Jesus' name what you said. Can I get an amen? Amen. So it's not thinking, it's not wishing, it's not hoping. I say it. I ask it. So I don't want to talk about that. We did last week. Go on YouTube. You can see the teaching. Today I want to talk about the second part, which is this word seek. Seek. What does it mean to seek? Look on the screen real quick. How we seek is with a wholehearted, earnest desire to know God more and more. It's a passion to be like Jesus. This is our lifelong pursuit. This is our lifelong practice. We're going to seek him with a wholehearted, earnest desire and pursuit to know him. So we got to be careful that we're just not wanting something from God without knowing the God who wants to give it to us. Lamentations 3:25 in the Amplified says this: the Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him. For those who seek him, notice these words, inquire of him and require him by right of necessity and on the authority of God's word. So the Lord is good to those who do what? Who wait hopefully, patiently for him, expecting him, but who are seeking him, who are requiring him, inquiring of him, and say, I need you. I'm requiring you. This is my necessity. I'm a son, I'm a daughter, and I'm coming to you, and I got to have you in this situation. And so I'm asking, I'm forming a prayer, and I'm pressing in, and I'm seeking you. Because your word, the authority of your word says, this is what you want to do. And again, this is not what I'm having right now, but it doesn't mean you won't give it. You'll give it if I ask it and I seek for it. As part of a scripture we've been praying for, I said it yesterday during our marriage event, for months now, probably a year now or longer, is Hosea 10, verse 12. It just says this phrase, just the phrase here, that it's time to seek the Lord. Come on, would you say that with me? It's time to seek the Lord. Until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. So this is a pursuit. This is a lifelong thing. I've been chasing Pastor Kimberly, for 40 years. I'm never going to not keep seeking her. I'm going to keep chasing after her. I'm going to keep trying to find out new ways of what she likes, what she needs, what she wants. I want to pursue her. That's my heart. I'm going to bring that same natural analogy and desire to God. I want to keep seeking after him. I'm going to keep pressing in. I want to keep knowing him more and more. We see this over and over in the Bible, but here's where it gets sticky. Look on the screen. If you say you're seeking God and it's not altering your time, your focus, your attention, or what you do with your money, then you're not being honest with yourself or with God. If we say we want it, if we say we need it, but it's not altering my life, it's not changing my time, my focus, my attention, my money. There's nothing different in my life. And I'm being real with me. I'm helping you. Hopefully it's just, I'm playing a game. I'm playing a game. And this right here, listen, this right here, reel on right now. This is where spiritual discouragement lives. This is it right here. When you say or you know you really need something, but you're still unwilling to seek it. It works in every realm. It works with eating, my diet. It works with exercise. It works in my spiritual life. It works in marriage. It works everywhere. If I say I want it, what am I doing about it? And God's given us the power to change that as we keep seeking him or any change we need in our life. David conquered this in his soul. Come on, we know David from, you know, watching sheep. We'll talk about him at the end of the message and just give you some encouragement. But David was a guy, when we know he killed Goliath, but he did more than that. Here's how he killed Goliath. The scripture says in Psalm 27, verse 8, he speaks to God and he said, God, you know, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I'll seek. Then he says in verse 4, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek. One thing, that will I seek. This one thing, this only thing, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. I'm drawing near to you, Lord. I say I'm going to seek your face. You ask me to seek your face, and I say I'm going to seek your face. And I'm requiring of you, I'm demanding my life to be changed, to desire you. And this isn't just an asking and give me a little couple more dollars and help me with this, get this confusion off my life. But then I go on the rest of my life and my life doesn't change. This is a full-on pursuit. This is a hot after God. This is I'm not backing down. I'm going to seek you all the days of my life. I'm not going to get old and tired, crazy old man as I get older. I'm going to be passionate. I'm going to be hungry for God. I'm going to desire him. Whether you're young, come on, get fire in your life right now if you're young. Come on, when I was 20 years old, I got my life turned around. I started hanging around some crazy young adults, and we would have 4, 5, 6 hour prayer meetings. We pray and cry out to God. I'm 20 years old. I was in drugs and alcohol and crazy lifestyle, and God got a hold of me, and I got a hold of him, and I just would not let him go. In between, I'm in college, between my second and third year university, and all my friends are partying. I cut off all, didn't have cell phones back then, but cut off all my associations with them. I knew I couldn't even try to reach them because I would slip back into that lifestyle. So there had to be a separation for me. God bless all y'all who are a whole lot stronger than I am. But if I got around dope and weed and pills and crazy stuff and Jack Daniels and Mad Dog 2020, I was a crazy man. I worked at a liquor store. Jesus, help me. I did. But I found that God was hungry after me and desiring me. And so I decided, I'm going to be hungry after you and seek you. Come on, everybody. So David finds us and he says, when you said seek, I'm going to seek. And it's the one thing I'm going to do. If there's one thing I'm going to get right in this life, it's going to be this. I'm going to seek you with all my heart. Come on, everybody. I'm going to seek. If it's just one thing. So it's not enough that you found God. You have to keep finding him. So here's where we mess up a little bit. And I've probably not done a great job, so forgive me. But we'll pray a prayer at the end of the service. And we say this. That is godly. It's scriptural. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and you will be saved. But now, after you pray that prayer, and you say you found him, which you did, you got to keep finding him. It's not one and done, it's daily pursuit. Can I get an amen in the room? So it has to be a lifetime of pursuit where you discipline yourself to seek God. So David's asking, what David asks is what he sought. He says, I desire the Lord, so I'm going to seek the Lord. If it's really what I say I want in my life, then I'm really going to seek the Lord. And so when your desire and your seeking match up and intersect, you're going to grow spiritually. This is where spiritual growth happens. Where I'm going to read every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to quit doing stupid stuff. I'm going to hone in my time, and I'm going to seek God during this time a little bit more. Job says this, which is interesting. In the book of Job, he went through hell and high water, if you read it. Lost his family, lost his stuff. I mean, all his friends, had some crazy friends come around him and didn't give him quite good advice. In fact, even his wife kind of lost her mind for a bit there and said, you just should curse God, man, and die. Come on, it's not looking too good for you up in here. And Job says this. I don't know what chapter it is, but he says this. Though he, God, should slay me, yet I will trust him. I can't quite get all figured out, Job says. But let me tell you, what I do know is I'm going to trust him even though he wipes me off the face of the earth. So I've kind of come up with this thought, is that you're required to seek God. You're required to seek him even when you don't understand him. You're required to seek him, even when you don't understand him. There's going to be some things you go through your life and you go, pardon me for saying this, but you'll get the point. What the hell is going on? I just had 10 days of fasting and prayer, and all hell breaks loose. I started coming to church, and all of a sudden, hell breaks loose. All of a sudden, I started giving, and my finances went down, and hell breaks loose. Welcome to Christianity 101. Because the minute you say, I want him, the devil's going to say, we're going to see up in here. And he's going to push and push and push. But listen to me, you can outlast the devil. Come on, he's a quitter. Come on, everybody. He's a quitter. You just have to outlast him. You just have to outlast him. Paul says this, the Apostle Paul, Philippians 3, verse 10, in the Amplified again, lots of words. My determined purpose, Philippians 3, 10, is that I would know him. I would know him that I may progressively become more intimately acquainted with him. Perceiving, recognizing, understanding the wonders of his person more strongly, more clearly. So he says this thing is a continuation. And Paul writes this when he's been following God, the church folks say, between 15 and 20 years. So Paul was a persecutor. He was a religious nut, and he was driving out the Christians trying to kill them. On the road to Damascus, he gets saved. Come on, great light around him. He gives his heart to Jesus. He gets changed. He becomes a persecutor to a preacher, and he starts planting churches all around that peninsula, all around Israel, all around up in Thessalonica, and all around Antioch, all these different places in the Mediterranean. His life completely changes. Listen to me. Paul is saying, I am never going to stop seeking him. I read something this past week. I want to give it to you. It's lengthy, but I've got it on the screen for you. I hope it hits you as it's hit me, and I've read this 10 or 15 times. When God satisfies a soul, that soul does not stop seeking the source of satisfaction. Once an empty, longing soul has tasted true pleasure, it can never go back to empty cisterns and stay there. In this way, Christians are both, check it out, restless and satisfied. They hunger and thirst no more, as Jesus promised, and they are always hungry and thirsty for more of God. In God's word, those satisfied with God spend a lifetime seeking satisfaction in God. Those filled with God search for the fullness of God. Those who have found God never stop searching after God. An unrelenting pursuit of God defines believers. This is why they keep reading the same scriptures again and again to find more of God. They pray for more of God. They memorize passages for more of God. Our longing is not to re-experience the joy we had when we first beheld him, but to experience new joy through a greater knowledge of him. We are not addicts chasing the first high because the same dose does not give us as much pleasure. Rather, we are climbers ascending a mountain to see more of its beauty. Seeking, pursuing, climbing, praying, asking, desiring, inquiring him, where my seeking and my desire intersects is where I'm going to continually grow. Jesus told a parable in Matthew 13, and he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when they found one pearl of great price, they went and sold all that he had and bought it. The merchant seeking pearls finds one and he sells everything. This is what I want. When David said that in Psalm 27, and we find out what he does in Chronicles 29, What David said he sought was, or seek, would be what he would then continually, what he sought, said he would seek, would be what he continually did. It wasn't just theory, it wasn't just prayer. He, we read, began storing up resources that was so heavy on his heart that I'm gonna build God a house. God had, you know, from the time of Moses, he was in a tabernacle, set up and tear down thing, moving. He said, I want to make God a house. I want to make God where his, a place for God where his glory would go. We call it a church. They call it a temple. And so what David does is that the prophet came to David and said, David, listen, that's a great heart. That's a great prayer. But he says, you got blood in your hands from all the wars. He says, you know, you won't build the house, but your son will. So David says, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to gather all the money together. I'm going to gather all the resources together. Even though I'm not going to build it, my son Solomon's going to build it. Is that what's amazing about this passage and this thought all the way in the Old Testament for David was that David continually longed for God, even though he wouldn't be the one that built that for God. This tells me that David's seeking affected the next generation. Yes. Listen to me, church. Your seeking today is affecting the younger people in our church today. You praying, parents, is affecting your kids and your grandkids. Come on, listen to me. Come on, everybody. It's happening. It's moving out like a wave, and you throw in a calm pool where it's still, and you throw a pebble in there, and there, it just keeps moving the movement of the water. Listen, there is movement in the spirit happening right now. Because you're praying. You're praying. The next generation is being affected. So our job, a little bit older folks, our job is to pray and to set up and release the next generation. Come on, all you folks under 30, listen to me. Spectrum Church is your church. Come on. No, we don't need a bunch of gray hairs up in here. We need some brown hairs and some blonde hairs and some black-haired folks. Do you get what I'm saying? So here we see is that seeking God changes the seeker of God. This is when I seek God, it changes me. I become what I'm seeking after. And again, this asking God for help, as we prayed earlier today, and it's got to move me from a place where I'm just asking without seeking his face. And this is relational. This isn't transactional. And we want to get away from a transactional God thought process and get into a relational thought process that he's my father and he wants to speak to me about things in my life and desires in my life and maybe some areas that I need change. He wants to prune some things in my life, correct some things, as Hebrews chapter 12 says, in my life, because he's a good, good father, not doing it to hurt me, not doing it to harm me, but doing it to grow me up. And as I seek him, not on me just asking, but me listening, me desiring, me pressing in. And we see this again with David. Forgive me for keep coming back to it, but this is what we see in David's life, that the organizing principle of his life was, I want your rule, I want your reign, I'm hungry for you, I'm hungry for your presence, I'm hungry for your renown, I want to see your will and your purpose brought into the earth, I want to see the enemy routed, I'm going to set up the next generation with my son Solomon, I'm going to give all these resources, it says in 1 Chronicles 29, I'm going to get all my mighty men to give all these resources. We're going to get the nation because we're going to set up the next generation for blessing. This is his heart continually, and this has got to be the heart of the body of Christ. And listen to me, I get it. I get it. You're busy. You're super busy. You got work. You got marriage. You got kids. You got friends. You got your own time. But listen to me, David was running the kingdom here. David was fighting wars. David had outside fights and internal fights in his own family, and yet he found time to seek God. He didn't live in a monastery, and so I don't know what in your mind when you think of seeking God that it's like it's got to be 3 hours. Listen to me. Start with 5 minutes. Come on, somebody. Listen, look on the screen. Direction, not intention, determines your destiny. Direction, not intention, determines your destiny. So I'm moving. I say I'm moving. I'm going to move. That you can say you want something, intention, but never move towards it, direction. and the destiny God has for you never be realized. So I got to close the gap between what I desire and what I seek. And so let me ask you a real pointed question. What are you doing practically with what you say you want spiritually? What are you doing practically? God, I need you. I want you. How much time are you giving to him? You, me, we are in control of our own seeking God. It's not dependent on any outside circumstance. I can't, I won't, man, you know, because no. I'm in charge. So the psalmist says this in Psalm 86, teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way. I will walk in your truth. Notice this, the stance. I will walk in your truth as you teach me. Then he prays this. I encourage you to pray this. Unite my heart to fear your name. I need my heart, I need my soul united. United, because I need your teaching. You teach me. I read the scripture. I'm making a decision. This is my purpose. This is my direction. This is my intention. But I'm needing some help up in my heart because my heart sometimes lies to me and it's wayward. And so I'm asking you to unite my heart. Don't have a divided heart to fear and seek your name. We've said this before, but it bears repeating. There will be no godly external movement in your life without an internal godly movement of your heart. So God isn't into behavioral modification, what I say on the screen, without heart transformation. So it's not just not just modifying behavior. It starts on the internal. So let's work this week on the internal, seeking God. And a prayer we've been praying from Psalm 51. Again, prayer that David actually prayed when he sinned and had Bathsheba's husband drawn to the battle line and killed, murdered, really. And he had sex with her, had a baby, and the baby died. And he goes and he prays in the temple, and he's asking God. And he says this in this translation, keep creating in me a clean heart. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires, ready to please you. This, he says, is what I'm seeking. Pastor John Tyson in New York City says this. He said this, seeking God builds your fascination with what God can do. As you keep seeking God, your fascination, just something that captures your attention and your affection, just fascinated with it, that you start reading the scripture and you start seeking God, and all of a sudden the gateway of your soul, of your heart, just gets enlarged to what God could actually do in your life or change your situation or your circumstance. This is what happens when we seek God. So again, if I've missed it, if I have not been clear, one more time, we seek who's hidden so we can find what's hidden. We're not just trying to get something as we ask, and then now I'm seeking to get. I'm seeking a who, not a what. It's a desire to be with him who knows all things, who has all the wisdom I need, and everything that I need, he's already provided in the scriptures. It's clear. But again, I'm seeking to be with him, to know him, to desire to be, as Paul says, more intimately acquainted with him and require him as my need and my necessity right now. So let me encourage you. Carlos, help me, brother, will you? Let me just say this just as we start winding down, just the next 5 minutes, 3 minutes. I just sense this for some of you in the room. Don't let seasons of dryness stop you from seeking. I think we just got this all, we got this messed up a little bit, some of us. And I might have been through there for a while. I don't feel the same emotion. You pray and it seems like the prayer's going about right here. It's not reaching heaven. I go into worship and it's not moving me like it used to. And so it must be the worship. It must be them. When we're so quick to maybe even bring it to us, is there something wrong with me? Listen, don't Don't let a season of dryness stop you from seeking God. This is the Christian experience. Listen to me. Wilderness and mountaintop. Valleys and highways. Year after year, constant. Prophet Habakkuk says something, and he prophesies, and he says this to the nation of Israel in Habakkuk chapter 3. He says this, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord, come on, say it with me. Read it out loud, will you? The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like a deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Didn't look too good. Going through a dry season. Seems like everything I touch doesn't turn to gold. Everything I touch turns to dust. Deals fall through. Seems like there's some challenging times in the marriage, some kids. Seems like job, like all the job opportunities seem to shut down. Everybody else getting promoted. I'm up in here with the most seniority. I ain't getting promoted. Dry season. I'm praying. I'm getting up in the morning. I'm praying. I'm on my knees. I'm on my couch. I got a coffee and I'm seeking God. And where are you? Dry season. Don't let seasons of dryness stop you from seeking God. Because listen to me, I prophesy to you, based on the scripture, there's going to be a turnaround. There's always a turnaround. Come on, there's always a turnaround. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We walk by faith and not by sight. We seek, we pray, we give, we serve, we live, we forgive, not by what we see, not by what we feel, but because the scripture says it, without any kind of result. And God says, when I see in secret, I will reward you openly. Can you say amen, everybody? Come on, stand. Would you do it this morning? I'm going to read you one more passage of scripture. I told you I'd do it concerning David. This is amazing. I believe some of y'all are going to find yourself right here this morning. We've been talking about David all morning. Psalm 78, a great psalm. It speaks of how God chose him, how God directed Samuel. Remember how that happened? Samuel, the prophet, goes to Jesse, David's dad's house, and says, get all the boys together. Next king's here among you. Saul, God's hand was going to be leaving King Saul from all kind of crazy stuff he was involved with. And God says, I got a new man. So he goes to Jesse's house and all these five boys are all lined up. And Samuel says, man, this 6'4", strapping young man must be him. And God says, that ain't the one. Next one, that's not the one. That's not the one. That's not the one. And after Samuel, the prophet says to Jesse, are these all your boys? And he says, nope. I got a little redhead dude out there in the back of the mountains. Come on, feeding the sheep. And he said, well, we ain't going nowhere. Bring him over here. And lo and behold, he got that anointing oil and poured it on him, and he was the next king. Check out the scripture, Psalm 78. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, and his inheritance. What does this mean? Number one, David's on the back seeking God, writing Psalms. We know that. Writing hymns, spending time with God. David's seeking God, and at the right time, God's seeking him. Listen to me. God knows where you're at right now. And he is waiting for you and me and our heart to be directed toward him so he can pour out everything in your life that you need right now in this season that you're in. And he takes David, he says, there from following sheep to being the leader of the nation. This is what happens to a man or a woman a teenager who starts seeking God. God takes you from one place in obscurity, even though you've got some talent in you, even though you've got some ability in you, it might not be realized, and he takes you from that place in a place of unknownness, if that's a word, and brings you out right in the presence of your dad and all your brothers, and God anoints you and God elevates you. It's called the favor of God to those who will seek him. All over the room, come on, put your hands in front of your, just like make an altar right there. Father, I pray that this morning, every person that seems like they're in an obscure place, a difficult place, a dark place, an uncertain place, an unknown place, a place like David, you took him. You took him as he was doing your will at that time, and you brought him, and you elevated him, and you rewarded him openly. Father, this morning, I'm praying, I'm asking, as we're seeking you, that you would do that for those here in our church. Every heart, every desire, every need, as we ask, Lord God, and we seek you, and we're not going to be moved. It might be a dry season, but we're seeking you, and we're asking you, Lord God, to not let our feet slip. We're going to rejoice in the Lord, as Habakkuk says. We're going to joy in the God of our salvation, even though there's no blooming or blossoming on the trees, even though there's no... The animals in the stall, they're all gone. There's no food, there's no fruitfulness in the field. We make a decision today to walk by faith and not by sight. We seek your face, not your hand. If we have your face, we have your hand. Thank you. Thank you. We're asking and we're seeking you this morning. Right there again, your head's bowed, your eyes closed, all over the room. Come on, give everyone the right to privacy. You're here today and you're just not right with God. You're like me, man. I was raised in church, maybe, and maybe this is your story, but I was away from God. Heard everything, gave my heart to God as a little kid, but then walked away as a teenager, as a young adult. But you're here today.